Welcome to Open Your Eyes, a podcast about opening our eyes to a new view of life. Thanks for joining us today. I hope you're doing well. Hope you had a great week since joining our last podcast. You know, our days are often filled with routines and habits that keep us moving without really seeing life as it really is. And yet, there's so much happening around us. Opportunities, stories, lessons that we can miss if we don't pause to notice. And that's what we do here at Open Your Eyes, to help us see things in a new light and bring a bit more richness and discovery to our way of thinking. So let's get started today. You know, for years, I had business leaders ask me, what is the key factor in helping to make them successful in making the sale, enrolling customers, and convincing others to buy their product or join their team? Sometimes we get to thinking it's the product, but not as much at first. The product will have to prove its value, but it isn't always what sells. We think it's timing. Not always so. We think it's how we look or how attractive our presentation materials may be. But even that isn't the most important factor. Today, let's talk about that most important factor, and it's this: the best story wins. When Canva, a graphic design software, launched, the design software market was already solved. Adobe dominated along with several other graphic design applications. The tools were powerful and professional and often intimidating to use. How could Canva compete? How could they attract customers? Well, Canva didn't try to out-feature Adobe. Instead, its founders told a radically different story. Design should not belong to professionals. It should belong to everyone. Their narrative was not about software. It was about confidence. The confidence and identity that the average user could be a designer if they only had the right software. Canva positioned itself as the guide, not the hero. The heroes were the users, the teacher, the nonprofit worker, the student, or small business owner who needed to use graphic design to communicate clearly, but felt locked out of design because of cost or access. This story attracted non-traditional first-time users like teachers and churches and small teams, and attracted people that would usually be intimidated by the software. The product mattered, but the story reframed who design was for. And once that happened, adoption followed at a scale no feature comparison against Adobe could have produced. Canva then surpassed 100 million monthly users and redefined the category, all by telling the story in the right way. Now, what about you? Is your product overview full of comparisons, or have you learned to tell the story? And using the best story is not only done in a presentation, but in dozens of other ways in our everyday life. Language learning had always been a motivational problem because people start, people quit, and they quit because learning a language is difficult and complicated. I know, I've tried it. It takes a lot of practice and can be discouraging. So how do you convince someone to do something when they don't see the vision of it when things get difficult? Well, the best story wins. Duolingo decided to take on language learning. And they won, not because it taught languages better in an academic sense, but because they told a better story about learning a language and how you can make meaningful progress. Their narrative was simple. Every day, you're becoming a language learner. They helped people see themselves as a language learner. They didn't focus on their product features and not a one day you'll be fluent sales pitch, not master a language in 6 months, but structured their entire experience around momentum, feedback, and light humor instead of academic seriousness. They reframed language learning from a distant goal into a daily identity. You weren't trying to learn Spanish, you were a learner of Spanish today. And the result? Duolingo became the most used language learning platform in the world. Not by making learning easier, but by making the story of learning irresistible. Now, stories do this. They help people identify with something. This is so much more powerful than describing product features. For example, if you're introducing a product line that is better for the environment and safer for your home, then telling the right story could help them see themselves as someone who shops in a way that helps the environment. So much more powerful than just shopping. Philip Hum says, stories increase the value of any product. He says in July 2009, New York Times journalists Rob Walker and Josh Glenn ran an experiment. They spent $129 on 100 ordinary objects from random thrift stores and garage sales. Their purchases included a bottle opener, a pink toy horse, a wooden mallet, a meat thermometer, and a jar of marbles and a Santa Claus nutcracker. Insignificant objects, junk. Objects that all of us have in the deepest corners of our houses. Then they invited a group of volunteers to write short stories about each item. They listed the items for sale on eBay, but instead of including a plain, simple description of the product, they added the fictional stories. The 100 items were originally purchased for $129 in total. How much do you think they sold for? They sold for $3,613. That's roughly a 2,700% increase in value, all from including a short story about the item. Mark Hunter explains, stories put the other person in receptive mode. It's no longer like, I got to be careful of what you're selling, or you're just trying to make money. But now when you share a story, the resistance goes down and it's like you're having a conversation. Here's an example from Colleen Stanley, author of Emotional Intelligence for Sales Success. She's used this story in her sales conversations to show how her approach to improving companies' referral rates work. In 2018, she was hired by a small pharma company in Los Angeles to run a referral training program for the sales teams. In one of my first meetings, she says, I sat down with one of the account managers, Derek, to understand what was going on. In not a very empathetic way, I asked Derek, why are you not asking for referrals? Clearly embarrassed, he looked down, cleared his throat, and said, look, in my family, you don't ask for help. It's a sign of weakness. At that moment, I knew it wasn't the time to teach Derek any fancy referral tactics. Before anything, we needed to work on his belief system around asking for help. In my years of training and coaching, I learned that beliefs drive actions, both positive and negative. Over the next sessions, I collaborated with his team to first get them into the right mindset and then get them excited about asking for referrals. When it came to Derek, after a two-hour session with me, he felt more comfortable. The same day, he sat down with his first client and asked for a referral. Guess what? He got it. In fact, that client gave him three qualified introductions that led to a $250,000 deal. Now consider that story. It was much more impactful at helping you start to ask for referrals than a step-by-step lesson of how to ask for referrals. Stories have a clear path to people's motivation. So apply this to your business. Where could you use short, effective stories to reach your prospects? Before COVID-19, Moderna was largely unknown outside biotech circles. mRNA was promising, but abstract, complex, and unproven. When the pandemic hit, Moderna faced two challenges: convincing governments to partner and move fast, and convincing the public to trust something new. They didn't lead with chemistry. Their core story was this: instead of injecting a vaccine, we teach your body how to solve the problem itself. This narrative reframed mRNA from experimental technology into biological empowerment. Your body wasn't being overridden, it was being instructed. That story helped policymakers understand why mRNA could move faster, helped investors grasp why they should invest, and helped the public understand what was happening inside them. The result? Moderna went from research-focused biotech to a global company almost overnight. So, all of these experiences show that the best stories win. Eric Parker said, I've seen brilliant ideas die in boardrooms, watched potential investors just sit there and check their phones, noticed employees' eyes glaze over during speeches. Not because the ideas were bad, but because the story wasn't there. And I agree with Eric. I've seen the same. Short, well thought out, and effective stories do the selling. So how do you use stories more effectively? Hunter says, one simple way to start your story with an element of surprise is to use an anticipation hook. An anticipation hook is a sentence you say before your story to get your listeners excited about the story. For example, a couple of months ago, one of our customers found a very creative solution for your exact problem. Or, I learned a major lesson just a few months back. Note, I recommend using anticipation hooks sparingly. If you use them too often, you undermine your credibility because every story is framed as the craziest or most coincidental experience. And another watch out is this. Too often, people's stories are always about themselves. It's a major turnoff. Or take too long to reveal the key point, and they wander in their telling. So, use Hunter's anticipation hook to set up the story and deliver the hook after. For example, if I'm doing a product overview, I might say, just the other day, I was giving an overview and the person asked me a relevant question, and it was this. Why should I care about products that help the environment anyway? That's an anticipation hook. When I answer that question with, and I told him between half and two-thirds of consumers are willing to pay more for sustainable products, with the figure reaching 80% for consumers between the ages of 18 and 34, imagine what that number would be if they didn't have to pay more. You could attract a lot of customers. So use an anticipation hook. Next is this. Some psychologists call the story part of your brain the narrative network. You use your narrative network to tell yourself stories because you create narratives and stories in your brain all the time. How things happened or why things evolved a certain way. Your narrative network already has well-established connections to other parts of your brain that store images, conduct reasoning, make meaning, and other critical functions. And when you use stories, you tap into this powerful part of other people's narrative network. It's much more powerful than you imagine because this network creates emotion, and emotion is highly linked to action. In his book, Story Business, Galvin McMahon illustrates accessing your narrative network with this simple example of selling a family trip to Paris. Imagine you're the CEO of your family. You make a business decision and consult with the CFO. The new strategic direction is a trip to Paris. How do you communicate it? For Family Inc., the project scene, enhancing family dynamics. Family Inc. has surpassed quarterly KPIs demonstrating growth and excellence. And we introduced Project Scene to revolutionize our operational paradigm and elevate employee experience. This project offers solutions to optimize agility, sharpen focus, and increase competitiveness. That would be no way to get your family excited about the trip. You wouldn't use language like this, so why do we do it in business? Instead, you would say, hey, we're going to Paris, the city of lights and romance. We'll see the Eiffel Tower by night with a dinner cruise on the river. For the kids, the museums, the Louvre, and the food. In talking to your customers, you would use language and context they can understand. So why do we do overviews and business conversations in ways that sometimes lack emotion and are too complicated? We can definitely simplify and think about how to bring emotion into our conversations. Now, the same author writes, a story is a piece of information wrapped in emotion. And that information could be a key piece of data, a unique selling point, or an idea. It doesn't matter what the information is, but it's information you want to get into the fortified citadel of your audience's mind. And the emotional wrapper is the stealth component that allows you to sneak it in. So let's consider a few important principles about what kind of stories to share and how to share them. Developed by the leadership author Simon Sinek, the Golden Circle is a communication concept built on a simple idea. People don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. Now, most organizations communicate from the outside in. what we do, how we do it, and why we do it in this order. He argues influential leaders reverse that order. First, the why, the belief, the cause, the purpose. Then the how, the unique approach. And then the what, the tangible product or service. The golden circle works because it aligns with how humans make decisions. What appeals to logic, but why appeals to identity and emotion, and identity and emotion drive action. When people resonate with your why, the how and what feel consistent and trustworthy. But when you start with what, you're competing on things like features and things that are non-emotional. So, how do you apply this? Well, right now, for example, in my foundation, we're building a new world-class tech center to help kids from all backgrounds gain confidence in technology. Instead of saying, we are building a 100,000 square foot tech center featuring aerospace, biotech, and fintech exhibits with state-of-the-art technology, we should try saying, we believe every child deserves the confidence to shape their future. So we build immersive environments that let kids experience real-world tech in a way that creates confidence in them. Same facts, different order, entirely different impact. You know, years ago, when Steve Jobs returned to Apple, the company was close to collapse. PCs were becoming standardized and price-driven, and Apple did not win by saying, we make computers with great specs. Their messaging centered on the why. We challenge the status quo, we think differently, and maybe even the how, we design products that are beautifully simple and human-centered. This philosophy was crystallized in the Think Different campaign. Apple's products became symbols of identity, not just tools. Customers weren't buying a laptop, they were aligning with a worldview. And that narrative reignited internal morale in the company, attracted top creative talent, and created brand loyalty. Apple's differentiation was not technical at first, it was philosophical first. So, what about your stories with your potential customers? Are you technical first or philosophical first? Now, Patagonia operates in a crowded apparel industry. Most brands offer durable jackets and outdoor gear, but Patagonia's golden circle looked like this. Why? We're in business to save our planet. How? We build long-lasting products and use sustainable materials. The what? Is we sell outdoor clothing and gear. Now, this order matters. About a decade ago, Patagonia ran a Black Friday ad that said, "Don't buy this jacket." On the surface, that message made no sense at all. But within their why, it was perfectly coherent. They were challenging overconsumption. Consumers bought into it. They didn't see the hypocrisy. They saw the consistency of buying one sustainable jacket and using it for a period of time. And that story deepened loyalty and attracted mission-aligned employees. You see, when you start with why, you attract believers, not just buyers. You reduce price sensitivity. You create internal clarity. Because when teams know the why, they make better decisions. So here's a simple exercise for you. Ask three questions. If your organization disappeared tomorrow, what belief would disappear with it? What injustice, frustration, or gap does your work and your team exist to solve? And why does this matter beyond money? Your answers there are the beginning of your golden circle. Next, years ago, I worked for a former McKinsey consultant. She taught the pyramid principle. This was developed by former McKinsey consultant Barbara Minto. And the pyramid principle is a method of structured thinking and communication built on one central rule. Start with the answer. You see, most people communicate chronologically, the background, the context, the data, the analysis, and then the conclusion. But the pyramid principle reverses that order. The main point first, the answer or recommendation up front, the supporting arguments, then the evidence in detail. You see, busy leaders or people don't want to discover your conclusion. They want to evaluate it. And the pyramid principle works because it reduces the cognitive load to arrive at your conclusion. It reduces ambiguity. It signals confidence because you state the answer up front. and it accelerates decision-making. Clarity beats suspense or confusion every time. So imagine a pyramid. At the top is your single governing thought or your answer. For me and my foundation, we should expand our mission of helping kids to give them confidence in tech. The next part of the story is three logically grouped reasons why. Tech confidence leads to higher paying jobs. Low-income kids have less access to tech. Parents want their kids to gain STEM confidence. That's where the demand comes from. So imagine a pyramid, and at the top of your pyramid is your single governing thought or answer. For my foundation, for example, is our mission is to give kids confidence in tech. The next part of the story is the reasons why. Because low-income kids don't have access to tech, and tech confidence leads to higher paying jobs. And parents want their kids to have tech or STEM confidence. You know, during the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, U.S. intelligence officials were briefing President John F. Kennedy. They were doing it daily about the Soviet missile installations in Cuba. Early briefings were dense and analytical and chronological, and Kennedy became frustrated. He needed decisions, not dissertations. The CIA adjusted its format. Instead of a full intelligence narrative and photographic analysis and step-by-step interpretation, they began with, "The Soviet Union is installing offensive nuclear missiles in Cuba capable of striking major U.S. cities." And then they supported that statement with aerial photographic evidence, range calculations, and deployment timelines. Then they provided deeper technical data only when requested. And this restructuring changed the tempo of decision-making. It clarified urgency, and it enabled faster strategic alignment amongst everyone involved. The intelligence didn't change. The order of communication did. Now, what about your stories in your overviews or conversation? What's the top of the pyramid for you? What's the answer up front? What statement did you lead with? At Amazon, meetings begin with silent reading. Instead of slide decks, teams present structured narrative memos, a practice reinforced by founder Jeff Bezos, and those memos follow a pyramid logic. The first paragraph clearly states what decision is being proposed and why it matters and what outcome is recommended. Only after that do readers get supporting arguments, projections, and operational detail. Bezos has repeatedly argued that PowerPoint encourages fragmented thinking, and the narrative memo forces structured reasoning. The main point cannot hide on slide 20. It must stand on page 1. Before your next overview, write this sentence. The main point is, if you can't fill in that clearly and confidently, then you're probably not ready. Here's another way of thinking, and it's created by author and business strategist Donald Miller. The storyteller brand concept is built on a simple but transformative idea. Your customer is the hero. You are not, nor is your product. You are the guide. You see, most organizations accidentally position themselves as the hero of the story. We were founded in 1987. We are the industry leader, or we're passionate about innovation. But in powerful stories, the hero is the one with something at stake. The guide is the one who provides clarity, wisdom, and a plan. So think of Luke Skywalker and Yoda. Luke faces the risk. Luke must grow. Luke must act. Yoda is not the topic of the story. He provides perspective and belief. So in your next overview, you could learn about the customer and understand their needs. Then your story is about their need, who meets you, who gives them a plan or solution, and facilitates the call to action that helps them meet their need and ends in success. It's not about you or how your company is amazing and that they're lucky to be part of it. The genius of story brand is that it clarifies two things most businesses ignore: the real problem customers feel and the transformation they want. Story brand works because people are not searching for companies. They're searching for solutions to their own frustrations. When messaging is unclear, the brain defaults to ignore things. When messaging clarifies who it's for, what problem it solves, and what steps to take, engagement increases dramatically. You know, Nike doesn't center its marketing around shoe materials or manufacturing facilities. So why do you do that in an overview? Instead, follow Nike. Nike's messaging centers on the athlete. Even its famous tagline, "Just Do It," is a call to the hero, the customer. Nike's story brand structure looks like this. Character. You. You are the character, the aspiring athlete. The problem is self-doubt, limitation, hesitation. The guide is Nike. The plan is to wear their gear and train and push. The call to action is just do it. The failure to avoid is the regret and wasted potential. The success is personal victory and identity as an athlete. TurboTax does the same thing. The character is the stressed taxpayer. The problem is filing taxes correctly and the anxiety and fear of mistakes associated with taxes, and taxes shouldn't be so overwhelming. The guide to the problem is TurboTax. They address not just the paperwork, but the stress involved. And that reframing helped it dominate consumer tax software for years. So, as we end today, please think about how you can use stories to win in your business and life. Stories sell. Use a few of the concepts we discussed. Start with why. Use the pyramid. Make the consumer the hero and watch. You will find you have much more influence and success than you've previously had because you tap into the narrative network of people listening to you. Remember, the best story wins. Most of all, thanks for being here today. And don't forget to join us next week for another podcast as we seek to open our eyes to who and what we can become.